Our first reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 to 7. Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed, as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan in Galilee of the Galilees. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor as in the day of Midian. For every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So reads God's holy and infallible word. Thank you.
Our second reading tonight is taken from Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me, who will be a ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Therefore Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor gives birth. And the rest of his brothers returned to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace. Amen.
Our reading is taken from Matthew chapter 1 and verses 18 to 25, the birth of Jesus Christ. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
My reading this evening is taken from Luke 2, chapter 1 to 7, the birth and child of Jesus. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out forth from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to the registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Our reading this evening is taken from the second Gospel, the Gospel of Luke, following on from what Wilfred read earlier, reading from verse 8 to verse 20. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto us is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they'd seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they heard and seen as it was told them. May this be our experience this night. We will leave this place glorifying and praising God for all that we've heard and seen as it was told unto us. Amen.
Our next reading is taken from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, and beginning at the first verse. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, asking, Where is he who is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east at its rising, and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was disturbed and troubled, and the whole of Jerusalem with him. So he called together all the chief priests and the learned men of the people and anxiously asked them where the Christ was to be born. They replied to him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not in any way least or insignificant among the chief cities of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will govern and shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod sent for the wise men and said, Search for this young child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I might go and worship him also. When they had listened to the king, they went their way, and behold, a star which had seen in the east at its rising went before them until it came and stood over the place where the young child was. When they saw the star, they were thrilled and ecstatic with joy. And on going on to the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasure bags, they presented to him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And receiving an answer to their asking, they were divinely instructed and warned in the dream not to go back to Herod. So they departed to their own country by a different way. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Amen.
Things beginning with S, linked to Christmas. Sweet stockings, Santa, sails and slippers. Slippers every year. But the birth of Jesus Christ happening in Bethlehem, in another part, the great plan of salvation was about to begin on the hills above the little town. And in Luke chapter 2, from verse 8, we read of that event. It's often said that men cannot multitask. So if I'm putting the washing in, that's the only thing I can do. I've got to watch the washing go round. I can't put the kettle on. I can't wash the floor. It's just the one event. Whereas we know our wives can do multitasking and do a number of things. Well, here in this story, there's an account of the Almighty God orchestrating and controlling and directing, first of all, a miraculous birth. Also then, a multitude of angels and a company of shepherds to accomplish his purpose to go down to Bethlehem to see what has come to pass. A perfect plan then, and a perfect plan also for our lives, which begin, as it did for those men, those shepherds, with an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. So, five other things that begin with S, linked to the story here in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. First of all, the surprise on the hills. There we read of it in verse 8 to 9. There were shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks at night. So the thought that Jesus was born in the night hours is substantiated and supported by these verses here. Company of shepherds keeping watch, literally watching the watches of the night. That is then on the night shift, taking it in turns to stay awake for a few hours while the others slept, and then being able to catch up some sleep while others then stood on duty. Now, to begin with, it was a night like any other night. The usual tasks, the usual routine, and then a shock, a surprise, an interruption to the normal pattern of events. Literally a wake-up call for some of those shepherds. Like perhaps if you're in an office, all of a sudden you're about your duties and your tasks, and then the fire alarm sounds. And everybody is paying attention. Only on this occasion, it was a night visitor accompanied by a glorious light, a bright, intense light that startled them in the darkness. I can remember speaking to a man once who told me that he had an experience once, an occasion of sitting at home in the evening, late one evening, and suddenly a bright light shone through all the rooms of his house, up the hallway and everything. It's as if the lights had come on, and yet there was no light that was shining in the house. Suddenly he realized then, he thought, this bright light, what was it? It momentarily stunned him. It was unusual. It had never occurred before. And he was at a loss to know what to make of it. And for a brief moment, he wondered even if he had been in the presence of God. Well, as it turned out, it was in the early days of the use of the police helicopter. And we know, you've seen them now in the sky, probably following a suspected criminal with a searchlight on him, and probably had come into that very street, and therefore were searching him out, and the light of that helicopter also blazoned into the rooms of this man's house. Once it was explained to him, well, he was relieved, naturally so. But the shepherds in this case, they had a spiritual encounter here. The intensity of the glory of the Lord producing terror in these hard-working men. If that was their response, then imagine what it must be like as we consider it tonight. A God who is holy, a God who is righteous, a God full of purity and light. One old hymn writer put it like this: "So how shall I, whose native sphere is dark, whose mind is dim, before the ineffable," that is the one who cannot be described in terms of words, "before the ineffable appear, and on my naked spirit bear the uncreated beam." What it would be like to stand in the presence of one who is holy and righteous. Well, the angels were about to tell them that there was a way that this could be made possible, for sinful people to stand before the intense light of God's holiness and not be consumed. And the words of the angels then pointed them to a birth in Bethlehem. So there was the surprise on the hills. And then secondly, we read of the sign of the manger. They're encouraged to go down to Bethlehem, and they will find then a child, a boy, a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger, verse 12 tells us. The one who would be the advocate with God, who was to prepare people for the sight of God's holiness, then was not some super Greek god with rippling muscles, but a baby, a small, weak, helpless infant who was identified as lying in a manger in Bethlehem. Yet at the same time, the angels identified this baby as the Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. Now, there are three clear titles there given to this one who was born. A Saviour who is Christ the Lord. And they're ascribed to this little baby in contrast. Couldn't be any greater, really, could it? The one who is the Saviour of men. The one who would bridge the gap between God's holy light and people's darkened hearts would be found in a feeding trough in a little village or town that these shepherds often looked down on from the point of the hills in which they worked. We know that after duty, some of these shepherds would make their way to Bethlehem, either to buy provisions or sell their produce, maybe the wool or even the lambs and the sheep for slaughter there at the synagogue. But to think that the answer to their sin, the answer to their problems, their guilt, was to be found there in a manger in the form of a baby was difficult to grasp. The sign of the manger, then, indicates to us the humility of Christ. Not only that God became flesh, his humanity, but also his humility. Who was he coming to? He was becoming a human being, but being born amongst the poor, amongst the needy, and the ordinary folk in Bethlehem. Our Lord and Saviour, the Christ, the chosen one, chose to come in humility. It was a stooping down, which would mark his life, firstly in obedience to his parents, also then to the Lord of God as he attended and listened to the word of God being read in the synagogue. And it even concluded when he was 30-odd years of age in the bowing of his head upon a cross as the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world to do the Father's will. Consider then this evening how low Jesus stooped to lift us up from sin and guilt. The sign of the manger, his humility. He who was worshipped by the angels in heaven became flesh and dwelt among us. Now the third thing we notice in this passage is the song of the angels. Now it's many, many a year since I've taken any interest in what's going to be number one of the hit parade in the days of Slade and Wizard. That's my sort of period of time. But I have heard that there is a choir that's in contention this year for the number one slot next Friday. We've been made aware of the London Hospice Choir singing a song called The Living Years. Well, whether they do make it to number one this weekend, we'll have to wait and see. But here in this story, there is the song of the angels. The song in these verses was not a solo item from the angel that first spoke to the shepherds, but it was a grand and numerous choir, a great company, we read. And if the shepherds then were beginning to draw any comfort and encouragement from the words spoken, it was certainly a cause of great joy to the celestial beings who were bringing this news. To see then the purposes of God being fulfilled in the coming to earth of the Saviour. The song begins, we notice, with the glory of God, praising him for the birth of his Son and for the kingdom he would establish, a kingdom of peace. Now we know of Caesar Augustus, who was the Roman emperor at the time, had established what is called the Pax Romana. After many years of civil war, after the death of Julius Caesar, Augustus then had secured the borders of the empire. He'd removed pirates from the Mediterranean. Originally known as Octavian, he was called the August One, Augustus Caesar. And the angel is ascribing here then that there will be peace on earth. Well, these shepherds and others in the land of Israel and in the Roman Empire knew something of a security of borders at that time. But it wouldn't be achieved, we read, by military force or by astute political dealing. Peace was thought particularly negatively. Peace is nothing more than a cessation of war. But for the Jew, the word peace, shalom, has a positive meaning. It means harmony. It means joy. It means well-being. And the last part of the song of praise has been variously translated over the years. The Old King James Version sees the angel say, "Peace on earth and goodwill towards men." They're translated as "peace to men of goodwill." That then is peace to those who are peaceable themselves. But the NIV translation here translates it, "peace to men on whom his favour rests." Who are the ones then who will receive God's favour as a result of the coming of this babe into the manger here at Bethlehem? Well, verse 10 goes on to remind us it's for all the people. It's a message for all the people. This good news is not directed only to the best, but also to the worst of us. Even the shepherds, who at this time were considered untrustworthy enough to be taken seriously as far as giving a witness account in a court of law in legal proceedings, even they were being visited and encouraged to come and see this one who was born. And so if we've considered then, firstly, that wonderful picture of the surprise in the hills, and then the sign of the manger, and then the song of the angels, fifthly then we notice how quickly the shepherds moved, the swiftness of the shepherds. You see it then in verses 15 and 16. When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's now go to Bethlehem to see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. The shepherds may have had many failings, but here we see them following up on what they heard. They could have remained in the fields and just kept talking about the strange event. They'd experienced something. Well, let's just leave it at that. It's like going perhaps and experiencing the emotional buzz of going to the cinema. It takes the boredom away. It releases us from the humdrum of for a short while, but it's never impacting upon our lives. Well, the shepherds didn't allow that to happen to them. These men are an example of putting faith into action. They followed up on what they'd been told. And the details were verified when they found Mary and Joseph then and the baby in the feeding trough, as had been declared. And as they journeyed then to Bethlehem, their journey of faith and discipleship also began. Some have described God's grace as God's all of him for me. That's what God's grace is. This is the giving of his son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God's grace is all of him for me. Jesus stooped down. He gave himself for his people. He left the glory of heaven for the sorrows of earth. But if grace means all of him for me, well, faith means all of me for him. In the light of his coming, his willingness to identify with us, that then brings us hope and joy and peace and forgiveness. A living faith which only talks about what Jesus has done. But not only talks about that, but also follows him in joyful obedience. And as these shepherds were swift then to come to Christ to see him there, I wonder in your life how swift you've been to respond to the call of God that comes in the gospel. Have you delayed the journey because of some pressing need, some pressing responsibility? When you see yourself as someone who has done wrong, someone perhaps who has made mistakes, someone who has failed, and that you need forgiveness, that then, as it begins to develop in you, will intensify and cause you to cast all else away and make your journey not only to the cradle to see the one who was born, but also to the cross and thank God for not only his coming into the world, but also for his death in the place of sinners. God becoming flesh, living a life of perfect obedience, and then Christ becoming sin, to bear the wrath that our sins deserve. And then finally this evening, we notice the sharing of the news. What did the shepherds do? Well, we read there of them in verse 17, that when they'd seen these things, they returned. They'd seen them, they spread the news, they spread the word concerning what had been told them, and they returned back to their place of work. Another clear evidence then of true discipleship is the desire to tell the good news to others. To truly celebrate Christmas, then, includes a willingness to identify with Jesus in his birth and in his life and in his death and also in his resurrection and ascension and second coming. It starts at Bethlehem, but it continues on from there. People who heard the shepherds marveled, we read. They wondered. They were astonished and amazed at what the shepherds had to tell them. Shepherds were not used to being given anything. They worked hard for all that they had. God had shown them favour to them in permitting them to be the first to see and visit the Saviour in Bethlehem. And when we begin to appreciate this Christmas time, what God has done for us in Christ, our response then is to share what we know, what we've experienced. Something perhaps, a verse in a carol or a verse of scripture. And as they returned then to that routine job, they glorified and praised God, and they were different men from that day on. So I wonder to what extent Christmas will make any difference to you this year, other than perhaps we put a couple of pounds in weight on and lose a couple of pounds in our wallets. Has God drawn near to you? Is he drawing near to you? As you've sung these carols and heard these passages of Scripture, is God moving in your heart? Have you thanked him for his not only his humanity, that he became flesh and lived amongst us, but his humility, willing to stoop down to earth, willing to stoop down to us, willing to come alongside us, to be the Emmanuel, God with us? Do you know the song of the angels in your heart? Do you know that song, Glory to God, thank you God for sending your Son into the world? Does it mean anything to you? And the peace that can be in your heart because of God's favour and his grace towards you. Have you come swiftly to him, or are you still delaying? Will you come to him more quickly in the year that is to come? And also, is there a desire then, if you have come to know him, to tell others about him and to encourage others to come and hear the message of the gospel? You find a longing to praise him for whatever he has done for you, and to bring him honour and glory, for his name is truly worthy of these things. So may these thoughts on the shepherds coming to Bethlehem to see the newborn babe may be something that we experience in our own hearts. Not only a babe in a manger, but the Saviour. And as Roger Carswell said, the baby's back was in a wooden cradle. Also then, he, as a man, he grew up and his back was against that cruel wooden cross. But he did it for love for men and women. And he loves men and women even tonight, and would have all who hear his word come and trust and believe in him.